It's here and now. The Supreme Court is winding down this year's session. There were no big decisions today, but the court did refuse to hear a Second Amendment challenge to a 2013 Connecticut law that bans the sale of many semi-automatic weapons in that state. So the state ban, which followed the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012, still stands. Now, what will happen to the challenge in the state to gun makers? Today, a judge in Bridgeport has begun hearing arguments to decide whether 10 families who lost children in that Sandy Hook tragedy can sue Remington, the maker of military-style assault weapons. A lawyer for the families, Josh Koskoff, spoke today before heading into court.
And the first question that I will ask is, okay, Mr. Remington executive, is it worth it? It's not a legal question, it's a moral one.
But what are the legal questions? John Jankowski is executive editor of the New England News Collaborative, reporting out of WMPR in Hartford. And John, this case has gone further than anyone thought it would, because gun makers are protected by a 2005 law that makes them immune, right?
Yeah, there's an immunity for gun makers. It's called the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. It was passed, as you say, back in 2005. It essentially shields gun makers from liability when guns are used in a crime. At the time, Robin, that bill was seen as a top priority of the NRA, which was facing a series of suits from both people and also towns and cities. It got, as you might remember, pretty broad bipartisan support. Both Republicans and Democrats voted in that bill back in 2005, and that's what gun makers are using to shield themselves from claims like this.
Right. And here's one of the lawyers for Remington, James Votes, arguing that case today.
If a manufacturer is not there to assess the competency of the entrustee, how can it ever be shown that the manufacturer knew or reasonably should have known of that person's incompetence?
So again, gun makers are shielded, one of the few industries that are shielded from lawsuits, because they are claiming we can't know. It's the gun dealers who might know a person's incompetence. But the plaintiffs are pointing to a loophole in that law. It's called negligent entrustment. What's that?
Yeah, so this is why this case is so unusual. Essentially, the idea of negligent entrustment is that you shouldn't be able to sell a weapon or really any product to someone who might use it for some sort of harm. Let's just back up and say what exactly that 2005 bill did. It didn't shield gun makers from the types of claims you might make against any product that doesn't work. Like, for instance, if a gun blows up in someone's hands, the manufacturer could be sued. That law shielded them from suits that stem from a properly functioning product, even one that's used illegally. So if you use a gun to shoot someone, so say the gun makers, that's what the gun is supposed to do. This takes a different tack. It basically says that a gun like the AR-15, which was originally built by Armalite back before the Vietnam War, is a weapon of war. Mm-hmm. And it brings into question this loophole of negligent entrustment. Essentially, should gun makers sell this product that is a war weapon to just anybody on the street?
Right. They're saying, you know, the plaintiffs, the 10 families are saying, we're not talking about one sale to one person. We're talking about any sale at all because it is a weapon of war. And here is a family member, one of the plaintiffs, speaking about the recent Orlando shooting. He's Matthew Soto.
As I heard the news from Orlando, so many emotions went through me, from horror to sadness, grief, and disgust. As I watched the news that day, I went back to that horrible day in December. No other family should have to sit for 6 hours and wait to hear if their loved one is alive or dead.
Now, so, of course, the plaintiffs are referring to Orlando. But how likely is it that this unique argument of theirs, that the general manufacturing of these weapons is the negligence, what's the likelihood that it's going to be able to get to trial, which is what the judge is considering?
Yeah, the judge is considering that right now and has essentially set a date into the far into the future of April of 2018 to have this case go forward, if indeed it moves out of this hearing today. The odds, Robin, it's very, very hard to tell because this is seen by many, many legal scholars as a real long shot. I know in talking to a number of the families that they're trying to take any tack possible to change some of the gun laws and really hold gun makers responsible for what they see are deaths here and also in places like Orlando that just shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. Well, and as we say, legal scholars are stunned they've gotten this far. So who knows? John Dankowski, executive editor of the New England News Collaborative, as a judge in Connecticut considers 10 family members, people who've lost children in the Sandy Hook shooting, their suit against Remington, whether it should go forward. We will watch. John, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.